What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
So it's the 150th episode of What the Fuck.
Wow.
I know.
Jesus.
I'm Josh Hadley. You can hear the cat is here.
What's up, guys? I can't believe you're still listening to the show.
As well as Charlie the Fister McMullen.
150 episodes. Shame on all of us.
Well, neither of you have been around for 150.
But you know, fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Shame on all of us. Jesus.
Yeah.
I think shame on Ed Glazer and I for starting this thing.
Damn it, Ed.
It feels like I've been on 150 shows.
Let's open with something that's serious, but...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you straight out. If you were going to rob an ice cream parlor, a Baskin-Robbins specifically, what would your preferred method be?
Well, I thought about bringing in a syringe full of AIDS, but then I thought, no, that's fucking stupid.
What about you, Kat? Would you have thought of a syringe full of AIDS?
Not just AIDS, but fucking AIDS, man.
What we're talking about is, in Portland, Oregon, a Baskin-Robbins last week was robbed with a hypodermic needle where the robber was claiming it was full of AIDS. Now, they haven't, at the time of this recording, they've not caught the guy, so they don't know if it actually was full of AIDS, but it was a hypodermic full of blood, and he threatened to stick the clerk if she didn't give him the money. As serious as this might be, I want to go, points for creativity?
They are thinking outside the box.
But just, I mean, I'm lost. Kat?
If you think about it, which, God, why would you? But
that's kind of our job, isn't it?
It's certainly a lot cheaper to just pick up a syringe at any old, I don't know, like, supply store or something.
And, or beach, you know, in New Jersey. Snap!
Beach in New Jersey. It's so true, though. You know, and then maybe, you know, mix up some Kool-Aid or something to make it look like blood than it is to go buy a gun or even a knife. What really amazes me here is that this really actually worked. And I can totally get it, because I would much rather get shot than have AIDS. So if I were going to get robbed, I'd rather be robbed at gunpoint than with an AIDS needle. But it kind of makes me wonder, like, how close was this guy standing? Because I would think it'd be pretty easy to dodge a needle.
This isn't the first time this happened. In Maryland, a pharmacy was robbed with a syringe that the guy claimed was filled with HIV-infected blood. This one was, quote, full of AIDS. Is that ramping it up some when you go from HIV to AIDS blood? Or am I just a sick motherfucker to have noticed that?
Well, I mean, it is technically incorrect. I mean, it is the HIV virus. I'm sure I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, but that is how you get AIDS. Like, you can't, like, it always starts as HIV. Like, you can't just get AIDS right away.
I know, but the fact that, because the guy in 2012 said he's got an HIV-infected blood syringe. This guy, quote, it's full of AIDS.
It's really quite easy to make your point across if you say it as simply as possible. It's got the AIDS is pretty unmistakable.
It's got that homosexual cancer.
Now there is something I would like to point out. Earlier in Maryland, when someone did that to rob a pharmacy, that I get, because people become addicted to drugs. Pharmacies have all kinds of drugs, so they go rob pharmacies. That makes sense to me. A fucking ice cream parlor,
Baskin-Robbins.
Yes, who, like, gets it in their head saying, I have to get my hands on that ice cream money by any means necessary? Like, who thinks that's going to be a huge windfall of cash?
In Appleton, about an hour from me, back when I worked in the news, a woman robbed a hotel with a pen. She threatened to stab the clerk with a pen. Are hotels known for having lots of cash on hand, or do most people pay with checks and credit cards?
Well, it depends on whether or not Joe Pesci has stayed there.
It also depends on whether they charge by the hour.
Yeah, I think a pen could probably get the job done in a place like that.
I don't know. I'm going to give the guy points for creativity just because. And that story came down right before we were going to record, the day before. So I had another dumbest thing already planned. So let's just talk about this real quick. It's in Florida, so of course, I know America's Wang all over again. A Florida man decided he didn't like people talking on cell phones while driving. So for 2 years, he held he put a cell phone jammer in his car on his commute and was jamming every single person on the highway as he drove to and from work every day. At first, you might go, oh, big deal. So people didn't get to text while driving, blah, blah, blah. This guy is being heralded as a hero on some websites I've seen. His little cell phone jammer was also stopping 911 calls. It was also stopping airport dispatch over the highway. It was also stopping police dispatch over the highway, ambulance dispatch over the highway. And this guy thinks he did nothing wrong. He's actually fighting the $48,000 worth of fines that he's accrued over this, basically calling himself like a culture warrior. Where do either of you stand on this, that I decide there will be no cell phones on my commute?
This is a guy who has this sense of right and wrong that clearly you can kind of see where he's coming from, because how many accidents are caused by people on their phones and texting and stuff. So clearly he has this great sense of justice that is entirely misplaced, because how do we even begin to imagine how many people have died because of this guy? And maybe nobody's ever been hurt because of this. But these things are illegal in this country for a reason, because if you're going to fuck up somebody's flight, you could crash a plane. I'm just saying.
People could, they may not have died. They could have. An accident down the road. They're trying to call 911. He just happens to drive past. Oh, call's lost.
For anybody who thinks that this is somehow a good thing, imagine how you feel if, let's say, you're in an accident, your accident blocks the traffic, and this asshole is now stuck in the traffic with a cell phone jammer, and nobody can call 911.
He was selfish. This is pure narcissism here. I decide I don't want people talking on my commute, so that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of cutting off the nose despite the face, to put it in a biblical patois. It's especially a dick move to passengers, though, who aren't even driving.
Well, not just that, but just the fact that he never even considered, or even now that he's been caught, still will not consider. The fact that he's fighting the $48,000 in fines says to me, no, I was right to do this. I am in the right. It's almost like he considers himself a freedom fighter.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Florida. I mean, I don't want to.
He's 68.
Okay, yeah, I'm surprised he's even able to drive.
My grandmother is like 94 and they still let her drive. And that kind of horrifies me a little bit. But needless to say, Florida has its problems and its problem people. And this is very much one of them. This is some sort of, yeah, like some sort of narcissism thing where this guy just cannot acknowledge the danger that he's put other people in. And
I think this is the ultimate get off my lawn.
this is really scary. This is really scary to think about, because you can buy these. It's not legal to have them, to sell them, to possess them, but you can still buy them on fucking Craigslist. And the fact that you can is so scary, because this is who knows what kind of people this is going out to. This is something that's illegal. So there's no regulation around, you know, who can own it, because nobody should own it. Like, this was something that was created for police and military to use when they're negotiating for hostages and shit. This is not something everyday people should have access to, and this is why.
Exactly. I think the danger comes in the fact that he didn't consider any danger. That to him it was, I'm annoyed that people talk and text while driving. And if that's where he left it, maybe if he started a campaign against it, fine. But forcing other people... Now, okay... I wouldn't even have felt bad if it were just, oh, he's fucking up, you know, talking to your girlfriend or whatever. But the fact that it was airlines, police, and ambulance traffic was also disrupted. He had to have known that was going to be a side effect. He just didn't care.
Yeah, that's hugely inappropriate. If they took everything inappropriate off of Craigslist, though, do you know how fast that would load?
No, Kat, if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. Are you on any form of birth control at all?
I am not going to answer anything about that.
Fair enough, but if you are on birth control, you're a whore. According to Arizona pastor Stephen Anderson, birth control leads women into being whores that's destroying this country. As the female, I'd like you to go first.
Well, this is... Oh, okay, first off, let's talk a little bit about slut shaming, This is some conservative D-bag who is shaming any female who is in control of their own body and is making sexual choices for themselves. So first off, fuck you. You are not the boss of me or anybody else. So fuck you. And then this concept that birth control somehow promotes, you know, sleeping around. Birth control is safety. Birth control is prevention. It's the backup. It's the, I can't commit to having a child right now because of financial reasons, because of whatever.
Or just simply because of it's your choice.
Yeah. Not everybody is made to be a parent. I personally hate children and will probably put it off for as long as I can. But, you know, it's not there to give girls the opportunity to sleep around. It's there to give girls the freedom to do whatever it is that they choose to do sexually without there being such heavy permanent consequences. You know, it's putting girls on the same footing as guys in how they're allowed to go around without somebody getting pregnant in the end.
No pun intended. God forbid that happen, right?
Seriously, though.
Charlie, are you on birth control?
My appearance is my birth control. No, I have the
and
ultimate
yet you're,
form.
And yet you're married.
I was going to say, I have the ultimate form of birth control, marriage. Believe me, there is no chance anyone's going to get pregnant in a marriage. I was kind of flabbergasted by the story that you sent us. I mean, this guy...
I've got some quotes I'm going to read in a minute. You'll be more...
Yes, yes. There were some gems.
I'm not going to leave these quotes unread.
Yes, but unlike Kat, I am a parent, and like Kat, I also hate children. In fact, I like to think that's a rather informed opinion for me, hating children, because you think you hate children now. Wait till you have one. Jesus Christ. But no, my daughter is 15, and she's already... gotten her period and everything, and I'm going to get her on birth control because telling teenagers not to fuck is ridiculous. Because I mean, you can preach about it all you want, but sex is fucking awesome. I started having sex as soon as I found the right girl who would let me do it.
Oh, I'm sure you found sex. You know, you started having sex when you found out you were actually ambidextrous.
Right. Well, that's not sex. I don't want to cheapen it like that. But I have cut my hand on a sock before.
I'm going to quote here from Pastor Steven Anderson. These quotes are just beautiful. First of all, he pointed out that God, in the book of Genesis, made childbearing painful to punish women for their original sin, adding that the husband, quote, shall rule over thee. All right, that's scary right there, but it's going to get worse. He then went to argue that feminism has, quote, given women the power to decide when to have children for themselves, allowing them to have careers and other interests. Whoa, we can't have that, right? Women being equal to men? No possible way on that, right?
Women being treated like human beings?
Equals?
What is
no
this
way.
We're coming to?
We're going to fuck them out of fair wages, but not literally.
Quoting again. It used to be a young woman, she gets married, she has children, that's her job. They literally count my wife as unemployed. She's not unemployed. She doesn't want to be employed. I mean, she's a wife. She's a mother. Unquote. I got a couple more, but let's stop for a second. Being a mom is a woman's only job, according to him. Or did I misread that?
Yeah, it's basically saying women, you know, it's the classic misogynistic women belong in the kitchen making me a sandwich. Women are solely there to make babies at their husband's beck and call. It's so revolting. It's taking us back a couple of centuries.
I was going to say, don't you dare say decades, because we were not this misinformed a few decades ago. Centuries, I'll give you.
It is absolutely just a revolting way to think. Only by being beaten down and told that you are worthless could a woman ever follow through with this. Like, no woman should believe this unless that they are, you know, forced into some sort of mind control via usually almost always religion, that they are so worthless except for this one task.
Yeah, it's guys like this pastor that make me lament the fact that Jerry Falwell got to live so long. I don't know what religion's problem with feminism is, but it's really ridiculous.
No, I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
They don't have a problem with feminism. They have a problem with equality. Those are not the same thing.
Well, right, they're not the same thing, but I think, like, equality is a sub-issue of the feminism issue. And it's not even really an issue. This is my problem with religion. This is why I have stayed so far away from religion ever since I was 14. This kind of shit should not be allowed to happen. I mean, there shouldn't be... I mean, of course, everyone's entitled to their own viewpoints. But this goes beyond that into cult-like behavior. This is telling people that women are lesser than men. They're not good for anything except pumping out kids. And I don't think it's right. And it frightens the fuck out of me to think about how many people believe that. Because that pastor wasn't talking to himself. He had a whole flock of motherfuckers eating that shit up. And it pains me to know that there are that many people out there that really believe shit like that. It's bad for society. It's definitely bad for women. It's potentially harmful shit.
Well, let's quote again. Not only does birth control do damage to women, it hurts their body if they're using the pills, and it also affects their character, causing them to be an idol, tattler, gossip, turning aside after Satan, unquote.
Okay, yeah. So this guy has obviously never met a woman other than his wife, because it's just generalizing women who aren't slaves to their husbands as gossiping whores.
Like, and it's birth control's fault!
like taking a pill that actually it goes out of its way to regulate a bunch of shit in your body, obviously, how does that even make you idle? I don't understand. How does that free up your time? If he's arguing that you're going to spend more time having sex, how are you suddenly idle now? So I, for example, have a friend who has really bad periods. Okay, girl talk here. It's a little gross, but like... periods, like the cramps are so bad that she's literally bedridden for days.
Because, so exclamation points, really.
Yeah, like seriously, people take this stuff to regulate stuff like hormones in your body. So this girl can actually go out and not have to take a week off of work because she's on this medicine that helps her. It's medicine.
Exactly. That's why it's prescribed by a doctor.
Yeah, that's why you can't get it fucking over the counter.
But according to him, quoting again, it promotes promiscuity. It promotes whoredom. He then went to go read from the Bible, so quoting again, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness, unquote. Whoredom is actually in the Bible? That's actually interesting to me, but fair enough. And then he goes on, a land can call to whoredom, and the United States today fits that bill. If anybody has ever fit that bill, it's the United States of America.
Clearly, this man has never actually been out of the country. Probably never been out of his own state.
I don't think he's ever left that church.
I think he was born in that church.
He was born there, and he's going to fucking die there.
Whoredom. I just like the word whoredom. Charlie also went out of his way to look up, and is insisting is not an actual word.
I tried, and spell check was having none of it.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a really naughty theme park. Welcome to whoredom!
And if I may offer this little bon mot to the pastor, just to sort of fill up his glass halfway, as I mentioned in the last segment, my daughter is on birth control now, and all I had to do was bring up some WebMD pages talking about how smoking while you're on birth control increases the risk of heart disease and heart attacks.
Well, if you went to WebMD, I'm surprised that you didn't find out she was dying by having her period.
Because WebMD, by the way, she's got
everything's
cancer.
Death.
Why, I refreshed the page, and then it came up. Because first it was just all dying. But now she's not going to smoke, because she technically can't. And Pastor Anderson, we call that two birds with one stone, so fuck you.
On that note, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to go get some birth control, because I'm going to start giving it away for free. I'm going to actually send some. I'm going to start sending that with Cialis to this guy's church, just to see what happens.
We'll be right back. Welcome to the heart attack portion of What the Fuck. I am Hart D. Fisher, and of course, you can never get rid of Josh Hadley. He's here too.
Well, it's my show on my website by my production company, damn straight.
Exactly, dude, exactly.
The 150th episode, by the way.
Holy shit, 150 fucking episodes of ranting and raving. And if you're a new listener, I would like to tell you that the early episodes are pretty yelly and angry. I'd have to say I've been mellowing out over the course of us doing this together.
I'd argue with that, but fine.
Well, without a doubt, dude, I'm not screaming anywhere near like I used to. I'm not like F-bombing motherfuckers like I used to. Well, it's bad. When did I start? I was like, what, a guest on...
You were a guest on our 25th episode, but then you didn't join What the Fuck or a 1201 Brianche production until episode 32.
Wow. So it's like 118.
Early February of 2012 is when you joined the family.
Very, very cool, man. Very cool. You know, it's kind of funny because this has been happening at the same time that my horror channel, American Horrors, has been growing. We've picked up quite an audience for What the Fuck. And when I started doing this segment with you guys, I didn't realize I'd end up with my own show. And this show has evolved quite a bit. I like the current incarnation with Charlie and Kat. I think it's a good mix. Kat has got some interesting stuff to say. I like the way she talks. You know what I mean? She's not coming at you with your usual emotionally based thinking. She seems like she's bringing a real edge to it. And Charlie's an interesting addition, too.
Charlie's a stand-up comic, so he brings no matter how dark some of the shit gets, he can bring a strange comic angle to it.
Now, you say he's a stand-up. Where does he do it at?
Basically out of Colorado. He travels all the clubs. He is regular at certain clubs. He's putting out his own album later this year, his first stand-up CD. Bunch of his stuff's on YouTube. He's actually a really funny guy.
I think he's pretty fucking funny. I mean, I always referenced his drinking game whenever I promote American Horrors.
But come on, to be fair, he's not wrong. When you get into salesman mode, you're in fucking salesman mode, Hart.
Yeah, it's my life's dream. It's what I love. And things are going really good for American Horrors, and Heart Attack has been really good, too. I'm getting ready to get involved in some local community stuff. I've gotten to meet a lot of local business leaders and such, and the show has actually definitely mellowed me out, given me a voice. It's been really good to talk about things like, you know, gee whiz, we've talked about so much shit that's just not in the mainstream that is absolutely something that needs to be discussed. And we kind of do it angry guy style because I don't like The Daily Show anymore. It's gotten way too pandering. I feel like it's pandering. And I just think Jonathan Stewart is tired. When the British guy took over, he was fantastic and offered a whole new biting edge to the humor. And I kind of think it's sad that he's being relegated to HBO. Everybody thinks, oh, HBO is great, but it's got a very limited audience. It's kind of like going to Sirius satellite radio. Sure, you're going to broaden your audience to a certain degree, but at the other hand, you're limiting it only to the paying customers.
And see, I still like The Daily Show because Jon Stewart, I feel, is one of the few people that actually will take a balanced look. Yes, he's looking for comedy bits, but at the same time, he'll go after the Republicans just as bad as he'll go after the Democrats. Someone like Bill Maher pretty much only goes after the Republicans. He's not balanced at all.
No, that dude's a sellout, man. I quit watching the show years ago, actually, because I would watch it, and every once in a while, he'd take a position that I'm like, how much money did they pay you to do that? Because I really believe he's an undercover GOP rebel. He's a paid fucking... You know, he's a spy. That guy's not real. Bill Maher's not a real rebel. He's just a paid fucking hack that's going to say he's the Democratic version of Rush Limbaugh. That's exactly
And he wants you to think of just how dangerous he is by his constant pot, 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 pot. I mean, seriously, try watching an episode of Real Time and not get 8 to 10, I'm a pothead, that makes me cool, references from him.
It's not like I'd fucking do this show stoned. I mean, what has that got to do with anything? It's fucking stupid.
Things that makes him a rebel when he is, I can't count how many times, and yes, I'm anti-Republican, we all know that, where a Republican will be making a fair point and he'll just go, we have to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, well, sometimes, I don't know. What I've seen a lot is I'll see him watch I sit there and I'll go, why are you letting them get out their entire speaking point? They're not answering the question. They're doing nothing but burn down the clock with double talk. Because there's a certain way that a lot of his Republican guests speak when they come on, and they speak in this strange double talk that doesn't say anything. There's a sketch on Saturday Night Live with a guy who, Fred Amundsen, who makes fun of it. Well, you know, we were walking down the street, and it's all a community-based safety response, because we're all really one people, because at the end of the day, it takes a village to raise a child. And they just speak in platitudes, and they talk in circles, and he lets them. I don't think that he necessarily, but then again, honestly, I haven't watched the show in a couple of years. I don't get HBO anymore. You know, I've put all my money into American Horrors, so I've been canceling a lot of the extras in my life.
Well, see, but here's the thing, though. When you got somebody like Bill Maher, and to a lesser degree, Jon Stewart, they're comedians first. So, like, Bill Maher might have a serious issue that he's bringing up, and he'll constantly interrupt the serious discussion the guests have to crack a joke, because that's where his money is I'm a comedian first. And you can't play that both line. You can't play both sides of that. You're either a comedian or you're a pundit. You really can't be both. I mean, Lewis Black, I think, is one of the only people that I think that can do both. Lewis Black is fantastic at playing both. Bill Maher's not.
True. And you know what? I don't think he's very funny anymore. He's just kind of smarmy, and I don't know. There's some kind of weird baby powder issue I've got with that guy. He just looks like a baby powdered. You know what I mean? Like, you look at him, you're like, I just feel like I'd smell baby powder on that fucking guy. Something about that puffed up, blow dried little midget. I don't know, man. I used to be a fan in the old days, but not anymore. I just really haven't been a fan of his work for a very long time. I think that, you know, he had his heyday when Bush was in office, and he really lost his way once Obama became into office. And they haven't really gone after Obama for the stuff that he's done, like signature drone strikes or the Benghazi issue. You know, they always want to make all this Republican witch hunt.
He's an Obama backer. He gave Obama $1 million.
This whole Benghazi, Benghazi witch hunt. Benghazi involves good Americans that were killed and tortured to death because of inaction on our own government's part and Hillary Clinton's part.
There's no debate that Benghazi is Obama administration's cover up, but then the same.
They don't talk about it, though. But, they don't talk about these things that he's doing. Like what about the NSA spying program?
But here's the same thing. Here's the thing, Hart, about the Benghazi thing. The same people who are outraged at this are the same people who made excuses for the Bush administration.
Why does that matter, though?
Because they said Bush was right to do this, Obama was not.
At the end of the day, Josh, I'd rather have the rapist caught. I don't care if the guy who helped the rapist last year is helping put a rapist in jail this year. I just want to put the rapist in jail. You get me? So I don't care. I don't care if, they said one thing last year, now they're saying another. How about we just focus on getting the job done? How about we stop doing the gotcha game and get this thing done? Because I feel the same way you do. They're pulling the same shit. But no one's taken Obama to task for extending the Patriot Act. The dude could have shut down the Patriot Act, no problem. But he extended it. He expanded the spying. He's helping kill net neutrality. The dude is bought out by politicians. He looks like shit, man. He looks like he has aged 30 years in his term.
All presidents do that. You look at, there was actually a bit on The Daily Show a couple of years ago where they showed like the last 10 presidents at the beginning of their administration and at the end. They all look like they went through some sort of a reverse time warp.
Yeah, he looks terrible, but I think guys that are doing what they don't want to do are looking worse. Bill Clinton didn't look as bad as fucking Obama does. He looks terrible. He looks like a guy who's doing something he doesn't believe in. He looks like a guy who's going against every ideal of America. And it's not, to me, I thought that he had something. He looks like a guy who's been crushed. He looks like he's been crushed by the machine, and now he's just a puppet of the machine. And the people behind him are pulling his strings. He's not so happy about it, but he knows he's the fall guy. He knows it now because he's not the main guy. The people that are running the scene are going to be there after he's not elected. I mean, Jesus, they're actually talking about trying to have Hillary run for president. Are you kidding me? She doesn't stand a fucking chance.
Yeah, if they run Hillary, then the well, I can't say the Republicans will take because their choices are just as bad. But Hillary is an awful choice for the next election.
She's no choice. She's no choice at all whatsoever. I don't know, man. Well, we're nearing the end of the show, so I just want to say, hey, it's been a great 150 episodes here at What the Fuck.
118 for you.
118 for me, 150 for Josh. It's kind of amazing thinking about 118 What the Fuck segments here and 50 heart attack shows, and we're just getting started. I like what I'm doing. I like doing this, Josh. I mean, obviously, how many years have you been doing this radio shit?
3.5, 4 now.
So I kind of came into the mix early in, right when you were like getting started around year one then.
Relatively early, yes.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Well, we're just getting started, folks. So tune in next week. We'll be back. More What the Fuck, more heart attack, and we're going to blow your fucking minds.
Live in Maryland, but
I used to.
You did? How close were you to Prince George's County?
Not super close, like 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
Okay. Are they really conservative there or just nuts?
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. Well, they have decided next week or the week you're hearing this that they are going to say due process. What is due process? They have announced that they're going to hold a prostitution sting at some point in Prince George's County. Which, by the way, I just want to point out right away, if you announce you're going to do the sting and the week you're going to do it, then wouldn't all the Johns just say, hey, let's not pick up a hooker that week? I don't know if I'm overthinking that on a criminal level, but whatever. They have said that they are going to be live tweeting the prostitution sting. If you get busted with a whore in the prostitution sting, they will live tweet your photograph and your personal details.
What could possibly go wrong?
Not just that. You know, when you're arrested for a crime, that doesn't mean you're convicted or even that you actually did it. I don't know how many innocent people have been arrested for something that they didn't do. My question is this even legal? Because of the fact that these people are simply arrested. They've not even gotten a court date yet. Is this just kind of like a public humiliation, or is the Prince George's County PD really overstepping their bounds?
This is really, really fucked up. I'm just going to start off by saying that, because if you haven't been convicted of a crime, if you haven't gotten sentenced to something, this is shaming. Slander or libel or one of those things where you haven't.
It could actually
been...
be both, because it's both in print and not.
Yeah.
So, and I think this would actually qualify as both slibel.
Slibel, yeah, that's what it
there
is.
We go. It's slibel. New word. I coined it. Slibel.
Definitely something for humiliation purposes. This is these guys trying to make themselves look like they're making some sort of progress. It is going to blow up in their faces because they are going to get so many lawsuits over this shit.
I don't think it should be legal, but I'm thinking about it, and there's a chance that it might be. I mean, yes, it's slander and libel, slibel, if you will. What social media has done to society is sort of enabling this. I mean, the narcissists and the voyeurs got together, fucked on a YouTube, and the wet spot is where we're all living now. Social media has gone way too far, just in terms of no one having any, not even a desire for privacy anymore. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people, but that's kind of where we are. So I definitely think that that our use of social media as a society is enabling this, but I don't think this would technically be allowed on Twitter. If they did this, their accounts would be canceled, because something about the terms and conditions of Twitter, there's something about targeted
abuse or harassment, right?
There you go. Those are the two big dogs right there. Targeted abuse and harassment. That is exactly what this is if they don't have a conviction.
Maybe the police get some sort of exemption from Twitter, or they are just guaranteeing that not a single one of these cases holds up in court.
Well, that's the other thing. It's unnecessary. This is just moralistic bullshit being thrown on the community because there are enough cops in positions of power to take a really moralist stance on issues like this. I think that's a compromisation of, first of all, of, you know, just being in law enforcement. It's not ethical. And that's all it is. This is just people wanting to shame someone for a crime that they deem more offensive than others. I think if you're going to do it for people to pick up hookers, you're going to have to do it for priests that fuck altar boys. You're going to have to do it for every crime that there is. Otherwise, it's just a moralistic crusade that the police, a municipal agency, are embarking on. And I don't think that's right.
Or the fact that there is a certain irony to this, that these are the same police officers who refuse to be photographed and will arrest you for photographing them doing their job, are now using social media to try and humiliate you. Is that just one more detachment moment we have between civilians and the police? And I don't even like the fact that they call non-police officers civilians.
They're not military. They don't get to use that term.
They do, though. That is, I think, part of the mindset that we are above you. This is, and I'm not being facetious, this is like the judges from Judge Dredd kind of shit, that we are better than you because of what we do for a living. This is almost scarlet lettering. I wonder what the DA thinks of this, the Prince George's County DA. I wonder if he has any sort of say in this, or if this is just the PD really stepping over their bounds.
I don't know if the DA would have a say in any of that. I don't think...
Well, legally he might not, but he might tell them, will you knock this shit off? I'm never going to be able to convict on this.
Yeah, that's definitely what I would say if I was the DA. But I think Maryland as a whole needs to work on their law enforcement. I think this is why murder is considered legal in Baltimore now.
Why prostitution? Yes, I'm making a joke here. Prostitution is arguably a victimless crime. If you're going to do that if you're going to live tweet this stuff and say, fuck due process, fuck the legal system, why not do it for drug busts or for homicide arrests? Why not do it for that? Why do it for something as relatively innocent as prostitution? Because selling is legal. Fucking is legal. Why is selling fucking illegal? Why is it illegal to sell something that's perfectly legal to give away? Thank you, George Carlin.
I don't know. I just think it's a moralistic thing. I think the police department's own ideologies are coming into play when they legally shouldn't. It's unethical.
But doesn't this also tie into that whole do you know that if a house gets busted for drugs, it goes into a national database that anyone can see? My house. I got my house because I used to live next door to where I am now, and my neighbors got busted for drugs. So when they couldn't afford it, I bought their house. So legally, my house is on a website that lists drug houses. Should I have that shame or not?
You didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't the one busted for the drugs.
See, what I think PG County is trying to do, I think this is like a test. This is them trying to look like they're doing something productive, and they're trying to be very visible about it. And they're just going about it in all the wrong ways.
But prostitution, like I pointed out, this is a relatively low-level crime
That's probably why they're attempting it. They're probably starting with something small, something they see to be controllable, something that most people would deem like morally wrong, something that they can, you know, really talk about in PR, something that somebody can run on a campaign for, you know? So it'll just make them look good, make them look productive, you know, find one area to stamp out that's relatively harmless to look more productive than they really are. I think it's going to blow up in their face like a stick of dynamite. I don't make the laws. I don't enforce the laws. I don't even live in Maryland anymore.
PG County Police they're trying to be cutting edge by doing something with Twitter, but they're not really pulling it off because they're getting all scarlet letter about prostitution when, by and large, nobody really gives a shit. And I think it would be unfair to the, at least to the kids and the family of people whose pictures are thrown all up on Twitter with a prostitute. I don't think that's fair. I don't know why they're doing this other than just some insane ideology. One quick note about the computerized registry that your house is on. I would actually be for that because it would make it a lot easier for tax-paying citizens to find a new weed guy when ours moves away.
Fair enough. Let's go to the story that pissed me off the most. Okay, Fort Worth, Texas. Veterinarian Lou Tierce at the Camp Bowie Animal Clinic. He has been keeping dogs that he told the families were euthanized alive, in some cases for years, and experimenting on them medically for money. How this was found out, family brought their older dog in. They were told by Dr. Tierce that he had, you know, an incurable disease that was only going to get worse, and it was probably best to put their dog down. They very begrudgingly said their goodbyes and did this, and he even stepped up and said, you know what, I can see how much this is hurting you. I will take care of the burial and the costs and all this so you people don't have to deal with this anymore. Well, 6 months later, they got a call from one of Tierce's nurses who told them that their dog is not only alive, but being held in captivity in the back of the office and being experimented on. So the ASPCA raided the Camp Bowie Animal Clinic and found that their dog was not the only one. There were four others, plus numerous dead dogs who had been experimented on to death. Apparently, Tierce has been doing this for years, keeping these dogs alive so he can experiment on them and sell them to medical research facilities. Before we go into this more, Charlie, I know you have a dog. Let's go to you first. What were your thoughts when you read this?
This is one of the most horrifying things we've ever talked about on this show. I mean, this is like Steubenville for dogs. This is, I mean, it's unforgivable, it's incomprehensible, and it's just fucking evil.
When we talked last week about the guy who raped, or who, the child rapist guy, wasn't there a child rapist? This is the, animal cruelty is the equivalent of like baby rape to me, where you have crossed some line that writes you off as a human being. And you don't deserve to be on this planet anymore because you are taking some poor creature who can't control itself. It doesn't, you know, have the ability to call 911 or something. And you are just inflicting such pain and such evilness upon it.
Your own fucking evil financial gain.
Like, seriously, there's just, I can't even. It upsets me so much.
A couple other aspects. Now, maybe I am a hippie in this, but how did these dogs feel? Because I've got three dogs. I love my dogs, and they trust me implicitly. What do you think that these dogs were like? What did I do? Why did my family leave me and bring me to hell? What did I do?
In the arms of...
Shut up, you!
Sorry.
Because when the family who found out about this got their dog back, he was still alive. They got to reclaim their dog. He's never going to be the same dog again. He's never going to be the dog that they brought to this fucking clinic.
I mean, the people who rated this...
The ASPCA rated it along with local PD. Because these days, animal cruelty is taken seriously.
Like, a lot of the animals that they found had to be euthanized.
Yeah,
thank
because
God.
Most of them were beyond help.
That's so fucked up.
But then there's the other angle here. What about the nurse who, after 6 months, finally grew the fucking sack to call somebody about this? I think after 6 minutes of that, I would have been like, you know what, dude? Fuck you. I'm getting the authorities involved.
I don't need this job.
Yeah. But the fact that she kept working for him for at least 6 months before she finally became human and said, I've got to do something about this. I mean, he was experimenting on animals by bleeding them. He was experimenting on them by injecting them with various diseases. They don't know what he was experimenting on this one dog who was missing a leg, had two dislocated shoulders and another dislocated leg, set in a cage where his head was immovable, covered in feces.
Jesus Christ.
He was just set in a... Another dog was sat on a pallet for almost a year, just tied to this pallet, and just kept alive enough that they could continue to experiment on this dog. The worst thing, in one of the news pieces I saw, where, you know, of course, the news people went up to Dr. Tierce and were like, Dr. Tierce, can we get a statement? He gave them this look. He didn't say anything, but he gave them this look like, why are you guys all pissed at me? He almost had this, I'm the victim here. They pulled my medical license for this attitude to this. That's what really ramped my fucking anger up.
Yeah, I didn't think it could get worse than Michael Vick, but it did.
He kind of had this, they're just fucking dogs angle to it.
That's not a good attitude for a veterinarian to have, by the way.
Right?
But then, this guy's been a vet since 1966.
Think about that amount of time. What the fuck else has he done in all that time?
Exactly. How many other dogs, cats, or whatever has he lied to the families about and tortured for his own financial gain? And then that also brings in where he's getting the financial gain from.
Yeah, did who's these paying him for this?
No, yeah, did these medical companies he's selling these animals to or selling the results to, did they know about this? How much culpability is there?
Yeah, I'm guessing in their defense they probably didn't know about it, because why would he be honest about that? Like, you're already torturing dogs and bleeding them out for years at a time. I mean, why would he choose business ethics to suddenly be on the level?
Fair enough.
I honestly don't understand people who are apathetic to the feelings of animals. It's incomprehensible to me. A vet of all people who sees animals in pain all the time, who can actually inflict that pain on a living creature.
You can hear my dogs in the background.
I just don't understand it. It's insane to me to think about people who you know, you hear all the time about kids who torture animals. You know, you hear, oh, what was that? There was a story about like 12 strung up cats hanging from a tree or something. How can you as a human being inflict that kind of pain on another creature? It blows my fucking mind that people are missing some chemical in their brain or something that is supposed to create sympathy. It's inhuman.
There's the ultimate betrayal of the fact that this is a man who, since 1966, when he was issued his veterinary license, on paper has dedicated his life to helping animals. To find out that would be like finding out that your doctor is secretly experimenting on you for medical gain. Well, actually, that's happened.
Tuskegee.
Well, not just Tuskegee, but the U.S. government on blacks in the 1950s, giving them irradiated toothpaste just to see what would happen. You know, shit like that.
That this is no better than that. I mean, I'm liberal about almost everything, but I am in full support of the death penalty. People ask me why. It's because of people like this veterinarian. It's because of people like the child rapist we were talking about last week. Some people are just evil. I don't even know if that's a religious construct or not, but some people just don't have that thing that we all have that prevents us from doing shit like this, and the world has no need for people like that.
What's really frightening is that how not just how long has this been going on, but how many places is this going on? This is
it's
one
gonna make
incident.
Me look at, it's going to make me look at the vet I take my dog to in a different light. If nothing else, it made me cynical.
I actually take, well, we have a, my, with my cats, I have a cat where he actually, like, will go berserk if you take him to a vet.
Considering your name, you better have a cat.
Yeah, I have two. But, so, like, one of my cats, like, has seizures and shit, and so we have a vet come to us, but before we started having the vet come to us, we were taking them to a clinic that was actually run by a relative of ours. So we knew everybody there. They came to our, like, our family events and stuff. So it's like, we feel pretty comfortable in that, but it really does make you think, like, how well do I know these people? You have all this shit, like, when a lot of people can't watch their pet get euthanized. I can't. I would never be able to watch that. So you go into the back room and they do it, but you don't see it. And so it's going to make a lot of people nervous and question, and this could be, I mean, this is appears to be an isolated incident, but this could have a lot of repercussions on the veterinary community and people's trust in their vets and their opinions. It could be really harmful, even more so than it already has been.
Well, and then, like, you know, to me, if any of my dogs need to be put down, I do want to be there with them, because I want them to know they're not alone at the end, you know? And I feel I owe them that much, if nothing else. Just the fact that there's also the fact that how would you feel, Kat, if you found out that, say, one of your cats had to be euthanized, and then you found out 6 months later that it had not happened, and that, I'm just going to say she had lived through 6 months of pure horror.
I would be so, so devastated and so angry. I would probably stab a person.
The next time Steve gets a yeast infection in his ear, I'm going to take care of that shit myself.
I don't even want to know how he gets a yeast infection in the ear, but okay.
Nor do I. I didn't ask that question. I just put the drops in and cleaned it out with a cotton ball.
Fair enough. So I will not be playing any Sarah McLachlan, because fuck that song. It just eats at my soul.
Yeah. Much like Sarah McLachlan herself.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of separation there. But the way I look at it, this is one of the most evil things we've ever had on the show. Celebrate 150!
Yay!
Yay, yeah. 150 episodes!
looks like we set two milestones today, one of which we're not proud of. I was watching American Psycho recently. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
Unfortunately.
Christian Bale movie, Bret Easton Ellis. The scene where he kills the homeless man in an alley and then kills his dog...
It doesn't piss you off
time.
When he kills the homeless guy, but it does piss you off when he kills the dog, doesn't it?
It does, because when I look at a dog, I don't see all the horrible things about humans that I hate about myself staring back at me.
I know.
Remember,
I was watching
dogs are not part of humanity.
I know. Roger Corman's 1980 Humanoids from the Deep. I don't mind that it's slashing people up and even it eats a baby. I get pissed when they kill the dog.
That's what you do in a movie to prove how depraved someone is. If they're willing to kill a dog, very specifically the dog. That's why, like, in fucking Independence Day, Boomer lives. Like, you gotta keep the dog around because
fuck
the dog
physics,
is...
physics, but yes, Boomer lives.
Because the dog is all, it's hope, is it's wonder, it's life, it's everything good about humanity is embodied in the dog in a movie. And if you kill that dog, you are so evil and just so depraved that you cannot be saved.
Yes, think about a dog. Dog is perfectly innocent. All the dog has is unconditional love and loyalty. And I don't even want to think about this anymore.
Like, our pets are reflections of how we treat them. So if you treat your dog like shit, you're a horrible person and you will probably end up with a really fucked up dog, but they will still love you and need your love in return to feel, like, alive.
And remember, Michael Vick was not too far away from this. It's not worth touchdowns is all I'm saying.
What I'm going to say before we close the show out, I want everyone who has a dog to go out and give them a big hug and let them know that they're loved. And Kat, you can do it to your cats. Just pretend they're dogs. Where can we find the cat? Since I'm not even going to try to do a funny close tonight.
Yeah, that would just be... Well, you can find me over on Twitter at LabyrinthCat, and you can find me on Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can find me over on my other show, Nerd to the Third, on That Guy with the Glasses, under the podcast tab.
Charlie, where can we see not only your naked ass, but Steve is in one of your videos, isn't he? Where is that?
He was in that very one. It is at GeekJuiceMedia.com. You can find me on Facebook, at Charlie McMullen on Twitter, and search my name on YouTube. You'll see some comedy.
Maybe unintentional, but comedy nonetheless.
It's not all on purpose. It doesn't have to be.
And I wasn't kidding. You really can see his ass in the video, and that's nothing no one ever needed to see.
Yeah, Alex Chowski spent a whole day mosaicing my ass, and it wasn't that long after that he came out of the closet. So
I'm pretty sure those two things have no relation to one another, but if that's the way it works in your head, fine.
It's my self-esteem, man. I need this. Come on.
Give the man what he needs.
Isn't that what Jowski says?
All right. Well, not like that.
You can find me, 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com, and I'm at the same geekjuicemedia.com. Go out and be nice to a dog tonight, and woohoo, 150.
Yeah.
Yay. See the ride.
Close and love's illusion. What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.